Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Very good.
Well, hi Russ, how are you? I'm good. Yes, I sure do. How are you? Well, it's got the environmentalists all seems properly around up here. I guess we're all environmentalists. Russ, you sit here. You both sit here so for the picture around you and go on to that. Early, it was a big environmentalist. Why not? She's always pushing.
Every day we're talking.
That's my, that's an effort.
Reorganize their government. They're not.
Japan has the problem. London has the problem. You ought to mention the garden, too. You may run into this. We think we only have the problem in all the city, we're having problems and so forth and so on. That's why we are working on it in the United Nations. You remember the thing up in Stockholm and so forth. But what I would like to do, I look back at the year 71, and you know the environment was the major thrust of the State of the Union message, or with 70 seconds, and that was the 70 message. The 70 message was the major thrust. And there we went along with the Doomsday business and so forth, because everybody was thinking in those terms, and you cannot really get too far away from what people are free to believe. But now, since that message, we have done a great deal. We've initiated a number of programs, and we're making progress on the problem, and we're going to look at it. I would say that I put it in terms of the fact that it's going to cost money, it's going to require cooperation, and so forth, but this is no time for pessimism about it. That this is because of the great national support or interest in or involvement in the problems that we now can look to the future with hope, rather than hand-wringing, despair, doomsday, etc., etc. It's the national spirit that needs a little lift on this subject. The other thing is that I think your environmental old thing, we are not going to have a State of the Union this year, or just one State of the Union. This has not yet been announced, but we're going to have, I don't know how many will end up with John.
I think probably five sets.
Five
sets of two.
Five sets of two, right.
But how many messages?
That's what I mean. Tuesday,
yeah, messages.
Tuesday, Friday, couplet.
Yeah.
Each week for five.
But each,
or in other words, we're going to submit the State of the Union in writing. In ten installments.
Right.
Now, the ten installments, in other words, of course, one of the sets of two is foreign policy, national defense, and restaurants, the rest will probably be domestic policy and so forth. It seems to me, John, that one of them has to be on the environment and quality of life, and so that was the great initiative of 70. Now, that should be done in terms of a message to Congress. I'm speaking now of one where we're talking about preferably, it can't be over 3,000 words. We're talking about that, because it's one that I will read. I will frankly do for orally for radio so that they can have it in that, but which will be delivered to the Congress. And so that we get it started. The difficulty with the State of the Union message, which I have always felt, is that you put in so much and you give them eight stories, and people don't remember anything. You see, you pick up the Times the day after the State of the Union, and there are four or five headlines, and then that's all. And the TV might you get maybe 5 minutes, and they cover it all, but no more. Now here, we're going to have a running story. We will have a story. The President today sent a message to Congress about that, and they can put a little audio on, like on the front. But what I want from you there, above everything else, is some uplifting language. About the hope for the future, the good things that we can look forward to, how this land is blessed with great natural resources, how our wealth makes it possible for us to do things about the environment that other countries are not able to do. Mm-hmm. How our scientific capabilities, we've always used this land, how the very things that created the problem, in other words, mechanization and all that, and that talent that created the genius that despoiled the environment is here to clean it up. And incidentally, I think, John, in that message, I would like to couple it. You've got to hear talk to your interior people. I'd like to couple it with the legacy of parks thing. Now, this is, I know you work on this.
Yes, sir. I'm on
it. But I think, I don't know whether that, maybe it's a separate message. Maybe it's part of the same. I don't know.
That's the idea
now
we can do religious.
Now let me tell you another thing that I want you to understand. You are members of the Committee of the Constant Environmental Quality. You naturally are place in this area. Under our reorganization, we are trying to get this all so that we can get the work done out in the cabin and get them more interested and so forth. We've set up, as you know, we're going to have a counselor for natural resources. We are putting butts in for the counselor of natural resources for a very potent political reason. If you put the Secretary of Interior in, the farmers will go up the wall and they will not cooperate. If you put the Secretary of Agriculture in, the interior people don't like it, but they will go along. And Butts, incidentally, is a highly intelligent man. He is very sophisticated. And I think, as a matter of fact, one thing I would suggest, John, I think you ought to arrange that Butts, so that he'll understand this problem. He's a farm-oriented guy. He's got a great intellectual background. They ought to sit down like a tree, and you just go over the thing and get him so that he knows that his counselor, he's just not there to be talking about how many pigs we're going to raise next year. Or how many...
There's a real job to do.
Huh?
There's a real job to do there. And,
But he wants to do it,
absolutely.
Because I've told him that he is not to be that the main problem. Now that doesn't, let me say, it isn't a question that Morton isn't going to have a whole lot to say about it too. But Bob's sitting on the top of the heap right over here in the EOP, the Executive Office Building, it's essential, let me put it, I want you to inform Butts as you inform me. If you want something sold, you get it. You see what I mean? So that he becomes basically, has an understanding of this thing, and knows that he can come here to you who's got environmental problems. And I want you, for example, to prepare a speech for him, just like you prepared one for me. So that he, because he should make a speech on it, at a relatively early time, not before I do, but I mean in March or April, I want Butts not to just go out and talk to the Kansas wheat farmers, but I want him to go out to Evanston and talk about the environment too, so that people realize that actually Morton is doing that. Morton is a gung-ho environmentalist, but I want Butts to be there too. Have you talked to him about this?
Yes, sir, but it's going to be
right now.
Well,
up on the hill.
We have shoved him pretty hard because he was saying, do you have to get my farm legislation through?
Yeah.
And we've said, well, are you going to...
That's his understanding now. That's his understanding.
Subject. And so he's still leaning into the hill a little bit, but it is coming. And lunch with you folks can help a lot, and I'll arrange that. Mr. President, on this other subject of the LP, yesterday we had Herman Kahn here for about 4 hours.
Who
has developed
who's we?
The domestic council and rate crisis staff. And we just shot the breeze with Herman for the whole morning.
One of the guy had a stenographer take it.
No, no.
It's all talks of 1,000 words a minute.
It's hard work to listen to him.
He
has developed the answer to the whole zero population growth doomsday theory.
He doesn't take doomsday.
No. And you might want to have recourse to him on this subject before you do these remarks, because he has developed a dialectic in answer to that, which is very healthy and very positive.
Those are good facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another point that's been that I think we should do is I think we should be quite honest and say that when we talk about the problems of doomsday and all that sort of thing, we want to realize that we must not jump to conclusions from inadequate factual material. Now, let me say, John, Pat Moynihan, a brilliant man who contributed enormously to our ideas around here, but Pat Moynihan was the leader in preparing my population message. It was a very good message. It was a very good message. But if you go back, John, and read that message in the rest of the day, you will find in there predictions about population that I saw a study about 3 weeks ago that have been proved totally wrong. You know what? You remember what it says? 1.5-2 years ago, and the whole, the whole business of holding population down, all that sort of thing, and stop at 2, which the kids at Smith were wearing, my daughter were there. Did you know that whole doggone theory is blown right out of the water?
Well,
now it may not turn. In other words, Moynihan is predicting 250 million people. Remember the growth figures to have a fewest are producing the most. We don't need to say who they are, but we know. And it doesn't mean that in the world, envy and other places, it's still a god-awful problem. But it does mean that we should not, simply because media go chopping off and down and saying, well, population is a terrible problem and all that, and everybody's got to stop it, we're going to eat ourselves to death and all that sort of thing. Well, let's face the problem. Let's not be smug about it. But let's be sure our facts are pretty sound. And I don't understand. I'm not sure that this study that came out recently, whether that's sound or not, I'm not sure either.
What are you referring to?
About 3 weeks ago, I saw it in the Times. A study came out indicating that the population of the United States from the Census Bureau last year was zero.
Growth rate and
they predicted zero from now on. Now look what this does to us in other ways. Schools, for example. You know, John, you've been in state legislature. Right now, we may not be needing all the new schools that everybody thought. We may not be needing the new teachers that everybody thought. It means that people have got to do a little planning about that sort of thing. You know, it's this slops over to other fields. Ed Richardson's got to get into it in terms of it. But health, hospitals, schools, etc. If population is at zero, and it may not stay, but if it is, or if it starts to recede a bit, this presents us a whole different set of problems than if it's escalating. Now you ought to get into it. I told Stein to get in it, didn't I?
Yes.
Yes. I'm very excited about this, what I have seen.
It bears on federal expenditures now. We have the Bill Burton program cranking out hospital beds at a time when we have a 25% glut surplus of hospital beds. With many schools around that might be useful for them. That's right. We can cut back on the Bill Burton program and save federal dollars if we can get around the pork barrel problem. We've got the same thing with university dormitories. In statistical terms, there's a surplus of university dormitory space around the country. Now it just becomes a question of location. But we don't need a nationwide program.
The breakfast is something we will be looking at, too. Well, absolutely, and I want you to look at it. But let me ask you to do this so that we just don't have a bunch of competing people sending in different memoranda. Sit down with Stein. Stein's got a brilliant bunch of people over there, and I told him to look into it. Who else was here that day? George. Well, that's not his bag. You sit down with Stein. I mean, now Stein's people have been told to look at it from the economic standpoint. You look at it from an environmental standpoint. And then the other guy that ought to get into this act is Richardson, but fast. And another one is the fellow from housing.
Hmm?
Don't you think so? Let me give you an example of a totally different way, not related to this, to your jobs at all. You speak of schools. When I went to West Point, I spoke to two of the academies. I went out to the Air Force and saw that magnificent academy in their buildings. Then I went out to West Point and saw West Point and looked at all its history for it. And I saw in both places new buildings. And so I asked the commandant in this case, what's the score here? Well, we've got to expand their classes. All right. So the core now, I understand, is 4,200. 4,200, I think, at West Point. Don't go into the numbers. Maybe it's 4,500 at the Navy. Maybe it's 4,300 at the Air Academy. Let me come to the key point. At a time when the services, you see, at a time when the need for officers in the services is going to go down, which it certainly will, inevitably, if you keep graduating increasing numbers of professional Army, Navy, and Air Force people, the pressures will be to increase the budget in order to have billets for them.
Sure, yeah.
Now, by God, they've got to cut. I told you, it's one thing we've got to get the Richardson division. We have got to cut those academies back. I think they should be back to 2,500. I think that's enough. Because the big pressure right now, the big pressure we've got on the defense budget, and I know it as sure as I sit here. Sure, they're all loyal men. They all rationalize it, so they say that unless we have this or this or the other thing, we're going to fall behind these or those or the other.
come back to it.
Let me give you an example. So that if you ought to see some of the other pictures, you realize that yours is not likely to come. At the present time, the United States of America has 5 intelligence forces all doing the same thing. We have the CIA, the Army has one, the Navy has one, the Air Force has one, the Marine Corps has 6 actually, has one, and the Secretary of Defense has one. And they put the New York Times
regionalism with another kind of government.
The whole point is, as far as our government is concerned, there's no reason why the House
them do it.
No, we have a good position on this, and it affirms the strength of the states,
yeah.
And it opposes the creation of a new regional superpower, and I think it's a sound
policy. Well, we don't want to reach a sound policy there for the time. I think if you can develop something, Russ, that gets away from the regional thing, gets away from a new layer of government, the whole thing, gets away from it. As a don't, and for various days, you think that we've got to send down a demand for 56, action on 56 new environmental messages. That's done. I mean,
we've got some cleanup. We've got some stuff. We have an act.
Oh, yes.
We can
call upon the Congress to do what we've done.
Yes, yeah.
That. But now, let us plan for the future. And get in sort of, I think the most important thing, Russ, on this is the writing of it. The writing of it should be uplifting. So if a price can be helpful, you've got to write it. But the whole point is so that it's on the land use thing. Take them on the mountaintop. Let them see what the country's going to be if we excited about
discussion.
What is it? Everybody has seen the horrors of suburbia and all the rest. Everybody knows that we should. And of course, like you say, you've got some interesting problems when you talk about land use. Remember, we went off on this kick that we wanted to revitalize rural America and get more industry and so forth. And now but throughout rural America, there is a counteraction in which you say, we don't want to come in here and destroy our good rural society. But in California, people in Santa Rosa don't want any factories. Do they?
Not any factories, no, just like that.
That's right. Not the Valley of the Moon, at least.
The important thing, I think, is to stop that sort of strip development that's turning off, say, all California.
And you know, it's like Colorado turning off the Olympic Games. Now, why do they turn it off? Well, frankly, people out there just want old tourists and all that commercialism. They just want those ski slopes for themselves. Maybe they're right. I think they were wrong because I think Squaw Valley did an awful lot in California, although it was a boondock.
I think the last Olympics probably had a lot to do with this attitude too.
Well, let's face it, the DOC wasn't exactly all that smart. They were really, I worked with them too. Yes, they were a bunch of bumps.
Well, I didn't get into what they was. We carried them around, but nevertheless, I don't know what we should have done, but on the land use thing, I think it's a good theme. What do you think, John?
Sure.
Whatever you develop a theme on that, and we can go.
I like that very much. Because yes. I've been concerned for quite some time that you're really doing more and getting less credit in the environmental field than any president I've known in 20 years.
Well, that's true. A lot of people think that. But on the other hand, which it does point out, what is important here is not so much at this point what you do, but how you say it. This is a sales. And also, it's the kids, the young people and the rest, they've got to change their attitude about this country. My two, Tricia and Oxford, just returned from a trip to Europe. And they, you know, of course, they first class, and down the streets, and present that they live in, so I didn't bore them. They met the Pope, and they were in Yugoslavia, they didn't do France as they done before, and then they went to Russia, they did Leningrad, and Moscow, and the rest. And unlike everybody, when they travel abroad, they come back and say, now we're glad to be home. Now, the point is that we look at this environmental thing and so forth, and people will tell you about these beautiful little houses they've got in Amsterdam, where for the old folks, are intermingled with the young folks, and why we have such programs. Yes, there are spots here and there where they do well. People will tell you about that magnificent housing development in Bucharest. I have seen it. It's very nice. It's well done. It's well planned. It's totally impersonal, totally cold, and a disaster. Now, what I'm getting at is that I just feel that out of this group could come some not Pollyannish stuff, but we've been a lot on the environment. Second, we're going to lick the problem. But now, you're not going to lick a problem of this sort by being negative about it, by being fearful about it. We can, as we go into our 200th birthday, we can look at this country with a great hope. We still have millions of acres that have not been developed, where people can go. We have parklands guidelines galore. Sure, our cities have their problems, but they can be changed, and so forth and so on. But what we have to do is to get on top of the problems. We must get on top of them in a mental and spiritual way, as well as a physical, material way. That's what I'm thinking. If you can get more idealism into it, Russ, and a little less of, well, we will send to the Congress 18 bills and the Congress should act. The Congress isn't going to do anything.
This is one of the reasons I put the thrust in on volunteerism.
I love that.
Volunteerism
people love. I just don't even know those football ads they've been doing. I mean, great. And I do hope you put something in volunteers. And incidentally, go back and read that Sunday State of the Union message. The area that got the biggest applause was, I'm sorry, I said that 80% of our environment is spent by the average Americans on the way to and from his work and his work in his home. That's his environment. And we ought to do something about that. Each individual is going to do something about his environment. Now, many of us interpret that as a throw off to the blacks or the Puerto Ricans or the Mexicans. All right. Sure it is. It's a throw off at every uneducated, poor individual. But I have been down on this in Miami, Florida. And I always like to drive around there. And I drove through a public housing project for blacks that was finished just 6 years ago. And it is the most horrible slum you ever saw. Now, I also, however, went through another one where they had single family residence for blacks. And it looked pretty good. Well, it looked as good as some things around through Southgate. But what I'm getting at is this. We ought to put emphasis on the fact that the individual does have a responsibility for the environment. When they go to the beach, they should throw those cans out. They should keep their yards clean. A sense of pride. In other words, the environment, the greatest contribution that can be made to the environment is not to say, what is the government going to do? The government can do something about maybe 20% of the environment. But when people throw up their hands and say, why don't they clean up the air? Why don't they clean up the water? All right, we can take care of the air and water. The devil is going to keep those streets clean. Who's going to keep the houses clean? Who's going to keep the place of work? Who's going to, you know, I put the bead right up. Go back and read that section. Who's going to take it to them again? Huh?
They're going to tune their motors and their cars. We're not going to do it for them. You know, and then 60
or 90 years. Environmental education should not be simply a doomsday. And I would use, let me say, if you can, I would use the fact that we were wrong about population. You know, look, for example, we predicted this. Take it right out of the message. And admit we were wrong. And so right now, that means that we all thought we were going to... You know, there's nothing new either. You've read Malthus.
Many economists.
Yeah. Look, Malthus is part of the history. We would all be starving to death today because we have starved to death, and we aren't going to. And there's plenty of land in the world, and South America, for example, which already has 250 million, which is more than they ought to have because there's so many of them, can support 600 million without question, right?
No, England, with the same territory as North Carolina, has 47 million people. North Carolina has 5 million. If you go to England, you think there's more open countryside than you see in North Carolina. It's a good
example. This is Kant's cold.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's use another one. Of course, Japan is the best of anybody that's been in Tokyo. The traffic jam goes up the wall. But you've got those marvelous little Kyoto and other places where you go. But Japan, with 120 million people, has less arable land than California. Less than California. Right? And look what they do with it.
Yeah. Fed on our
patrimony.
job, we think it's a very Missouri.
And if they think their coverage big, or it's fun, to take a look at some radars, and the CIA.
Sir?
Who's that position? Lots of CIA, this is true. You can come, you want to do that. I want you to say, okay, the vice president's here. Russ, you know.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, you're right.
Betty Bullock.
How are you? Nice to meet you.
You have met my president before?
No.
These are my...
Brilliant, I saw you come on.
Right, he's a farmer, California legislator, big,
We were Democrat Republican.
You and I all can't be too long here. Maybe I should have been a Democrat. Oh, yeah, I know.
Thank you.
So I can't make more of it. Yeah, President, I've had DOD, you know, for a little over a year, and I haven't heard everything you say about that situation over there. I just want to get that word out.
Thank you, General.
Get on my head, here we go.
That's what I want.
Sit down.
Really keen item.
unfair and ridiculous. I don't see how the people who criticize what's going on in the negotiations can ever expect that they're assisting the process by this carping and sniping. But it appears to me that what might be helpful at this time is a high visibility diversion. It's not just diversionary for the sake of that, but which has some other positive aspects to it. And in other words, get the attention of the International Press Corps a little bit off of photographing whether Henry smiled or sneered as he comes out of the negotiation and on to something else. And I've been following the Middle East thing very closely. I talked to Cisco in a briefing yesterday. I talked to Bill Rogers. It seems like Sadat is getting himself worked into an irrational frame of mind. He's been trying very hard, goes back as far as my visit to Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, to get some indication that he made a signal to release the Russian presence to some extent to respond. And I know you're expecting a visit from Hussein and Mrs. Meyer in February. Now, undoubtedly, he's going to be sending signals through the same. But it seems to me that I don't know what the pressures on the same now are liable and necessary he can be. I threw out the thought that if in some way I could arrange in a high visibility way to go to the Middle East and to confer with Sadat. Other things could fall into place. First of all, it would be a tremendous diversion from the Paris thing. Secondly, I think Sadat is capable of committing an irrational act, even though everybody knows that in the hell condemn him if he does. But this fellow Sadek is over there, Goose and him around, and other people. The other point that comes into the picture is the fact that I'm sure you're aware that the International Oil Consortium has negotiated agreements with Saudi Arabia and with Kuwait, but that the Shah is now the dynamite those things by asking for what amounts to a nationalization at book value. And they're afraid if that whole thing opens up again, the Kuwaitis will abrogate their agreement and the Saudis will abrogate theirs, and of course this relates to our energy crisis. So there's another thing that could be done to a degree of consultation with the Shah on this problem on a high level might be in order. But principally, I had the feeling that with nothing else to concentrate on except that negotiation and every damn nuance, all of the dreams of these hostile bastards being surfaced every day, that to give them something else to look at a time when the Middle East is getting rather touchy again, might be something you'd want to consider.
You mean now?
Before the inauguration, on a very working basis, not any kind of state fluff connected with it.
I would say this. Out of it, if you go before the inauguration, what comes out of it would be, I'm afraid, so mixed.
maybe making it worse, that even though we're diverting news attention to the extent of that let's face it, what they were trying to say, the vice president was on a mission to talk to Sadat and nitrogen to see Mrs. Meyer and all those other clowns and the others, but he didn't accomplish anything. I think we'd be way to pounce on it. For example, a major reason
filtration.
that looks like a bigger number. So under the circumstances, we said, well, we're bombing it. Why did they come back to the table? You know why they came back? Because they were bombed. But my point is, we can't tell everybody that. We tell the Congress, look, we bombed them because they were stonewalling us. And so they go, oh, we meant, so you get it back to the table. And the answer is yes. If you tell the Congress that, then the congressman follows the letter, he's jackass, and also go out and say it to the press. And then what happens, unfortunately, is it gets right up to the to Hanoi, and then you'll get one hell of a stonewall because they cannot be in a position of being bombed back to the table. But I can tell you that's why they came. They were hurting. They were hurting. It's tough. Grinding work. I've stated the way I did the leaders. I would not be optimistic or pessimistic. I just assume that I wouldn't be keeping Kissinger there unless there were serious discussions. There are serious discussions underway. No use to go into what they're saying and all that sort of thing. It's irrelevant. I didn't learn so to me. All I know, they're pounding away at the critical issues, which is a ceasefire that will be enforceable. And if we have a ceasefire a week later, because it isn't, we don't have a proper supervisory thing, they must have. We're going to look at that as hell. We're going to be tough. That's really it. That's what the DMZ language is for. The DMZ language has nothing to do with sovereignty. It has to do with enforcing the ceasefire. Take the POW issue. It isn't something we can say a hell of a lot about, but the real thing is that they imposed a condition on that. They say that they first said that as soon as we sign an agreement, we get the POWs back in 60 days. But now they say, provided that the civilians being held by the South Vietnamese government are released. You can't agree to that. You can't release 60,000 people like that. You see, because as far as POWs, military prisoners must be exchanged for military prisoners. Those are just typical of the issues. And you see, these are the things that we're trying to hammer out. Because we cannot make a deal just for the sake of making a deal and looking good at inauguration day. On the other hand, let me tell you, we wouldn't be sitting here today talking about Henry's being there unless we had bombed. That's why we did it. It worked. And the main thing is how it comes out. Huh?
I'm sorry we didn't take the Van Dykes into the way I feel.
Well, as a matter of fact, the Van Dykes, you get practically as much like you killed it. They make a big thing out of 1,200 civilians.
And 1,200.
My God, how many have they killed in the South in their infancy? They destroyed Anlock. They destroyed Quan Tri. They did that. They killed 50,000 civilians. You saw that.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Deliberate destruction, not a goddamn word.
Well, can we mitigate that number?
Well, my number is maybe high.
That
is supposed to get there.
25.
If there isn't 25 in the public.
But is that something?
25, absolutely.
Pretty much so,
yeah, absolutely. 25, the president's figure is probably closer to the right figure. 25 is absolutely nobody can handle. Nobody can undercut.
That brings me to the other thing.
Yeah, and a number of, did they get that sheet out and give it over to his office? The number of hospitals destroyed, the number of schools destroyed, the number of orphanages destroyed, right?
Yes. I want to ask you, should I at this point, now, there's several things going on that make me mad as hell, and I sat on my hands and said nothing. I've got a forum on the 25th up in Massachusetts.
25th of January?
Yes, in the district that this guy beat John Kerry in.
Yeah.
Paul Cronin, I think he's
named. Yeah.
And there's several things. The war thing is one. The erosion of values. Yeah, you read in the paper today, here this guy, sniper, shoots up everybody in New Orleans.
And they're all on his side.
And they're all on his side.
Yeah.
The Navy ruined him. That's the story.
They put his mother out saying he was a fine boy.
Fine boy, but the Navy ruined him.
Christ.
And, well, that's one area. But the other thing makes me mad is this congressional encroachment on the executive privilege now.
It's happened for years.
What I want to know is it... Keep sitting on my hands, or can I get up and say a few things that I have to say about some of this stuff?
Let me say this. I would say that the 25th of January. Could I suggest that you, just to give us a little more time?
I have another forum on the 12th of February.
Well, that's a little later. Too late. 25th of January, could you push it back about, see, that's right after the interview. Could you push it back to, say, the, well, 25th, give the kid all the kid, certainly all those things. I'm just saying, you may not want to get the war issue then.
No.
On the other hand, you may. Yes, kid.
Well,
when's your other forum?
12th of February.
Oh, naturally, you have one then, but where's that? Chicago?
That's California, the Lincoln
Club. Oh, the Lincoln Club, yes. Very good club. Black tie. That's the California elite, Southern California elite.
Stand in the dark.
Yes. The Gettysburg Address.
They stand in the dark, maybe the Gettysburg Address.
But what I was going to suggest is that you're damn right. I think you ought to get that. I think also the Congress, the shameful way that the Congress has attempted to sabotage these negotiations. That should be said. It should be said that they prolonged the war by constantly giving the impression to the enemy that they would make a better deal than we got out of it. Now, I don't know whether you're going to be able to say that, but if the time comes, somebody else...
The way I want to say it is to just draw the public's attention to the fact that what has happened to our national flag when our own president is not believed and enemy power statements are accepted. What's happening to our society when the man who's designated to lead the people in our own country is regarded with suspicion and distrust? They quote you, they say that the president alleged, but when they quote Hanoi, they say they could have repeated like it's fact.
Right. Especially when time after time, the president in the afterlife has been proven to be right.
That's true. But I think we could put together something that's... It's not abrasive in the sense that it's a lash out, but then it just calls on the people to let's think this thing through. We're Americans. What the hell are we doing believing people who have a history of aggression?
Yeah. And also, I get that.
Duplicity and everything else.
But I think the other thing, I think, too, is that it's really to say, here's the Congress. You can find out the difference. Any chance there was. And I've always thought that. I've been abroad in all the years I was out of office. I've never criticized the government's policy, our government's policy, because when I was abroad, here we have our Democratic friends and some Republicans, but many of the Democratic, deliberately making a partisan issue out of negotiation at a time when they know they are serious, at a time when they know the enemy reached every goddamn thing they say. That is shocking. I think you could say that even now. But no, not this week. But it ought to be in any of your private conversations. I would knock their brains out on that. It's a shocking thing. I mean, frankly, if I were the enemy, I wouldn't come back to the table at all with the Congress, you know, coming off and jackassing around. I would have just canceled this meeting until you're starting on the 8th. You realize that? They passed before the 8th, when they knew the serious negotiations, when they knew the technical talks had started on the 2nd. After that, in the period before the 8th, both the Senate and House caucuses on the Democratic side passed resolutions to bug out. Bug out, period. Right?
Now, there's not one guy except Goldwater. He's the only one that will get up there and say things like that. Not one guy
Tower.
In the Senate will get up and
Tower
say
things.
I've never seen him say anything. Have you?
Yeah.
I mean, he just doesn't get the publicity.
Goldwater will say something.
Goldwater didn't do it at the end of the day.
Did he?
Yeah.
He'll be better now that he's not chairman.
Television. Maybe it's a question of exposure. Some of them say that they'll get the exposure.
Oh,
no,
sure.
They'll get nobody says anything.
Well, our guys, our friend, he don't have any tires that do get the publicity. And the difficulty is, too, that let me be very fair to him, too. I haven't been able to let Rogers or Laird, who both could get publicity, say anything, for the reason that I didn't, and I want you to say anything at this point, for the reason.
administration saying you could really screw up the negotiation if there's going to be one. So I would not be discouraged or encouraged. I just simply say, hold tight. And that's why I am. I'm as unflappable as I can be. They can raise hell and whine around and bitch around. But let us just suppose that within a month we have a ceasefire, a return of our prisoners of war agreed upon and on the way, and a political process where there is no imposition of a coalition government for South Vietnam, two states, and South Vietnamese government. South Vietnamese people will determine their future and also some government. What do we have then? All of this is going on. What do you think?
It's all gone.
Don't you hear another word about it? Yeah, we won't hear another word, but you think we'll look pretty good?
You think you'll look like you performed everything you said? And all of these people will quiet down.
They'll quiet down. They will not apologize.
Oh, they won't apologize.
They'll not say good. They'll like your great friend, Saxby. How do you like that son of a bitch?
Well, I think we ought to have done like that son of a
bitch.
And Matthias.
We've got after him. Well, Matthias, he's old.
And Chaz.
Chaz bleeding around again. What about the bias? Is
he's in the paper this morning. What the hell is he?
He's on war.
He's got a big thing. No, he's got a thing where
executive privilege.
No, an Air Force guy. The Air Force sent him a letter saying something's wrong.
He has publicized a letter from a B-52 navigator.
Yeah.
He has changed his mind about his propriety of his mission. It's a perfect. It's a perfect thing. He
says he won't find anything.
He won't find anything.
He's writing a senator because he ought to know what's going on over there or something.
I can't imagine.
Well, you know, that's
we're killing that's people or something.
99% of the guys over there are just as loyal. They know what they're doing. I talked to Bob. You talked to your Pope since you got there.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday.
Christ, he says that, boy, he says that, you know, he's not downbeat at all, is he? But here's Matthias putting out such a damn letter. I don't know what you could do with him, except to think I have to see that, well, no, seriously, shouldn't there be some primary opposition?
Yes, there should be.
Has anybody over there got the stuff? Could you get that Spezak, or whatever his name is, to change his registration?
He could have been able to. All right, I'd find somebody.
Got anybody else?
Roger Morton.
Well, who will he do it? You do it. You're the encourager. He should be wiped out. But I will say nothing about it. But let me say that that's your problem, right?
Not working.
That's your state.
Because he has been.
Well, then he gets it getting loose. You see, Clancy and Sam Devine blasted Saxby as a result of his statement. And Saxby's real worried right now. Saying, well, maybe he won't run again. I mean, just great. Well, on the Mideast thing, I think we just got to hold tight right now. I like the lengthy suggestion. I think it could come. I'm afraid it cannot come in this context, particularly with the way I think we've got to hold tight to the inauguration. It's too short a time.
Got it. Well, your judgment. The thing in the Middle East occurred to me that looks like it is that I think the Israelis will jump at the first provocation to get back into a shooting war with the UAR for this reason.
Sure,
they don't want to talk about giving any of that territory back. They know that the Arabs can't get together, and they know they can beat the Egyptians. So they're the first chance they get, boom, and then once it starts up again, they're going to say, don't talk to us about giving back our buffer zones. If we've given them back, we have been decimated, and this is necessary to our security. We can't trust the Arabs. We must forget that this is now Israeli territory, and we'll never get any kind of adjustment or problem.
Yeah.
And I think that the way the situation is with Sadat right now, he may be provoked by interior forces in his own country with doing something dumb enough to give them the excuse to shoot.
And the Israelis don't need much excuse. Just so they're looking for. They kicked the Syrians around there. The Syrians even sneezed in the Golan Heights and go in and bomb. They talk about bombing. You know, I don't see any of the Jews in this country raising hell about the Israelis and their preventing bombing. You know, they don't fool around, do they?
No, they
intergovernmental relations that I've had the only responsibility I had taken away from me, and I do need, at the earliest practical moment, some assignment that's important, at least has something physical to keep me, because they build up, you know.
Yeah.
Adam gets the idea. It started in Chicago, it came in California, now they're all centered in on the fact that I don't have a damn thing to do, and the only thing I was doing is to take them away.
Yeah. Let me say, though,
but I can
just hold tight on that. Good God, I remember all the articles I used to write about me when I wasn't doing anything and I didn't have any important assignments and so forth. You just continue. As I said, I hope you can spend some time up there. Invite a few of those congressmen and senators, our friends, into your rooms, and also get the list of the good Democrats, including some of the new ones, Democratic senators.
Tim was working on that.
That's the greatest thing in the world. About them, let them see you. You can lay it out to these people without saying, you see, the problem that you've got here, we don't want anything to come out this week on this negotiating thing, except to say, we're doing the right thing. You know, getting back to this, Matthias putting out such a letter as that, I just wonder if there's anything that the services do I guess there's nothing you can do to counteract it. There must be hundreds of you, has any of our people checked on it or whatever. What do we do? We
just accept it. Well, there's nothing you can do.
No, I was wondering, I'm speaking about the public relations, for example, the more layer and all that much. Do they try to. This is really their PR problem. It's ours too.
Theirs. Yeah. And I don't know. This one just came out this morning. The access of the media to those people, there's no way to stop
that.
You can have too many people. Love you. Always find one son of a bitch that's going to shoot his mouth.
Look, they were all, you know, even the wars that were, if any wars are popular, that were popular, World War II, World War I, good God, we had our slackers. We had our people, you know, that were bitching about the fact that we were doing the wrong thing, right? The problem, the difference was that then the media didn't play them up.
The media were on the side of the country.
That's right. For its sake. Now the media is not. That's really quite the difference, isn't it? God damn, there were thousands of them. Thousands of them ran off in one circuit. You know that. Thousands. There are weak people in the world.
Well
let me say that I have it in mind.
I
appreciate the suggestion. And don't be concerned about your son. That'll show. It'll show. But we're going to make it solid.
You don't have to worry about the names, President. I can think
but make the speeches.
Yeah,
I'll make the speeches.
I've told a lot of people.
Lay it out.
You know, anybody that worries about what the newspapers and televisions are saying immediately after an election, that's not the time to worry. Right before
an election,
you have to worry about
it. Did it occur to you somewhere that some of the media, some of the Congress, terrified at the thought that maybe this will come out right.
Oh,
I terrified.
Have an interest in
you agree or not? They are.
But anyway,
terrified
at the thought that the reality
to
begin with, and then to have to have this settled on top of it. I want to be as helpful as I can. Anything at all, please call. Thanks.
Bob, I'll be in touch. We think it's very important.
All right.
Very important, right? I think, Bob, on this, on these things, the Vice President, you know, with Chuck going now, because you see, he was obviously, when he was talking to Congress, but I think you had better approve anything like the Rudy operation. Rudy's going to be a good man, but he's not experienced yet enough to know whether or not the Vice President should do it.
Right.
So you run it by me, please. Those decisions will make it this level. But you hear from Bob.
Yeah, I'm loving that.
Well, what I mean is, if you hear from a staffer,
I'll check it with him.
Even if you hear from Pat Buchanan, well, no, Pat Buchanan would never say it without clearing it. But what I meant is, Bob will just get it in one word.
From my direction, I'd rather.
That's right.
On
the other way.
Okay, so there's on
the other way.
Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you. Well, it was a awesome meeting.
together, they said, what are we going to do?
Well, it's like that assignment for the Great Republic, and so you don't want to go to China. But the I don't think this actually matters.
It's so unrealistic, he does go out of his way.
This is
such a stupid
unbelievably stupid thing. For him, it's a loser. Christ. And also the diversionary thing. You think anybody's going to believe that that's what diverted to Vietnam?
Well, here it is.
Look, that is a goddamn joke.
Well, you have to do it as a crisis thing because of the...
Now, this is a reflection of his staff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's also on his own judgment. He should, his staff, he's responsible ultimately for deciding what his staff says.
He must sit down and talk to these yokels and they come up with an idea. He said, well, I'll go talk to the president.
Well, they probably pushed it. They probably kept hammering away and finally said, you know, Ted, you got to go over and talk to the president. You got to see if you can't get a...
You know what you ought to do? I really ought to like this. You ought to talk to you about it. I mean, that's what I would have done. The old days, either with Adams or
talk to Henry or L.A.
Well, they're not here. But I mean on a PR thing of this sort of where Henry's gone. Of course, you can imagine Henry think of his own seats of God. Of course, I must say that Roger should have stepped up to it and told him it was a damn fool thing. Obviously, he hadn't. Maybe, no, in fairness, maybe he didn't make it into Roger.
He may not have. I have a feeling maybe he didn't, because Rogers, I think, would have shot it down, because the last thing Rogers wants the vice president getting in there, that Rogers looks at that as his territory.
What was the cause for him to finally do?
I don't know. We have a report on what the Democratic Conference was about. Do we? What was that caucus about? A caucus resolution? Specific action on that time. So they're just sitting there stewing around in their frustrations, huh? Deal with the impoundment problem. And apparently, Tunney has some kind of proposed resolution that
to come up with on that, and they don't know any more about it than that. He'll get a reading pretty soon. Coral August was up there, and he said he was listening at a back door for a while to hear a little bit. You know, it was just kind of a lot of shouting and mumbling. And there was that one speech was being given on impeachment at the time he was listening at the doors. Well, that's what it is. They're being cranked up. The media's cranking them up, and they're being good. They're coming out badly on all of it. The cartoons, which is probably the most effective thing. Yeah, I do.
Wishful thing.
No, we were talking about it this morning. I think they are.
I may see only the cartoons and satellites.
No, I'm talking about the ones in the Washington Post and scattered all across the board. It's the feeble old Congress. Trying to figure out what to do. And I think they have a problem, and they don't know how to deal with it. And they're getting more and more like a cornered tiger, and it may not be good that it is a problem. And
well, we have a pattern just right. And God, now I'm sure we're doing exactly the right thing not to tell him anything, no harm about it.
Yep.
Don't you agree?
Yep. It just isn't very.
Well, it's just he just demonstrates there.
That's too bad.
I don't believe. I mean, the good guy, he hadn't thought it through. I mean, he's at all.
Well, and it's so clear, you know, it's to divert from Vietnam. Well, that's ridiculous. What he's trying to do is get some attention for himself. Which he finally admitted after he got through everything else.
What in the hell is the... And you know, the country doesn't give one goddamn about whether he is the head of the intergovernmental relations or not.
It doesn't know.
I don't think the country knows. If 1% of the people would know about such a damn thing.
No, but he reached it in these poster columns, you know.
What he ought to do is to go out. I mean, he make a speech or two, they'll pay attention to him at the proper time. They call the nominations or something. Bobby doesn't have it though. He doesn't have what you need to go to the top. You know damn well he hasn't. You agree?
Absolutely. Totally agree. And it's got to, I mean, without any question. I'm sure some of Roosevelt's people sat around and thought the same thing about Truman, but I don't think he's got anything of what Truman's got and what Truman has.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, I don't think Truman came to see Roosevelt either. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Truman knew damn well what his job was. Wagner's got some idea that he's got to come in and ask the president for this or that. Well, basically, it's because of where he trained all of our group wrong. You know, they sort of got the idea. When I say all of our group, our original cabinet group, and so forth and so on. But I think they got the message now.
Yep. All except for him. He'll never quite get it. He tries. He's he's just not really. I don't know. The other thing would be to give some thought to, constructive management of the guy.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a vacuum there. Maybe by filling it, we can gain something.
It's harder. Putting harder, what do you mean?
Oh, no.
I mean, it's got to be management of him, his office. Right?
Management in the sense of his public relations. I mean, of the use of his... he's a guy, he can be heard. And if he says the right things, he'll be heard. But he can take on the Vietnam.
Wow, you come on this whole Vancouver's home. Yes, and go backwards. Just like he did after November 3rd. But the point is, he can't do it now.
He's got to sit tight now.
That's right. Look, I've thought it all through, I thought it through long ago about it, before we ever broke off the negotiations on Henry. When Henry came back,
also, I was not as sanguine as Henry was at the moment we announced that we're stopping the logging negotiations to redo, that they laid off. I figured that the handle sure they're going to continue to be asked because they figured they have a good issue. On the other hand, we had, if you look back every step of the way, no other damn choice. There's nothing that we could have said that would not have harmed the negotiations, not one goddamn thing. And that they were raised and staffed, and you've got to point that out. Well, what would you do?
It isn't raised. Nobody's questioning.
Yeah, I mean,
there is really no question.
Well, some of our people raised, I guess, outside of their, you know, old friends and so forth and so on, and say, what the hell, why would you do this? Why don't you explain? I mean, they only go on explaining. Christ, I can't go on and explain. Tell them the truth, you ruin the negotiation.
It's sure no internal push for that.
But I'll say in that case, too, you just got to realize if it comes out right, you look pretty good. If it doesn't come out right, we still got a pretty good case. That's where you're going to rip the hell out. You know what I mean?
That's it the other way.
If it's going to happen, we're going to have division on this thing. We're going to pour it to them.
Oh, Henry called and said he finished the meeting, that everything's on track, that he's sending a cable, we'll get in a couple hours, that he went ahead with the proposal, and he said we got 100% concurrence on substance and 80% overall. I don't know exactly what that means. He said, I don't want to get into it on the phone again, you know, but he said, yeah, I've covered all the cable, and I'm sending him, you know, proposal on that. I'll go step by step. He said, it's what you wanted to accomplish. And they've agreed. And he was quite pleased with that, because he said, you know, what I was lobbying in yesterday was a proposal on a very tentative basis.
Sorry, I hope that what he got agreed to is not Henry and his group. Now, that's what I'm
right after the election,
depressed state, psychopathic state almost.
I was warning, Mr. Friedman. I was warning you.
And he's very... It's funny though. If you all, I almost know when the call comes in, I don't need to take the call. Because I know it'll mean, he won't say anything, but it'll mean basically he's got a good news. Because he's bad.
Yeah, well, about that. Well, they're all that way. I mean, that's not the problem there. That's what it is. No, what I mean of the Harry is predictable.
Because all that time, you know, before he didn't call at all, and then called out one day and said, I hadn't heard from him. Well, I never called him in, so. Took the first one.
That's some consummate, I don't know. Just a factual. I think we're to be from the hands of very guilty people about the Western crap. I know it's done well. They did
well. Yeah. That whole cycle of stuff. The
time he was doing it.
Time the interview and then.
He was doing it for a reason. He was slashing back at the staff people. He got scowling to be specific. What he thought something to the effect that he went too far. And I go back, which of course, as we've always said, had nothing to do with that. And he went too far in his optimistic statement. He said, he didn't go too far in negotiations. This is going to be, we've got anything to report, a hell of a shock to a lot of people. We're going to shock Rogers the most. Larry's cynical, but don't say he expected it. Roger sat here and said he didn't think there was going to be anything. He was very pessimistic. We shouldn't be going forward. Roger really is a funny thing, but Bobby said he in his way is as bad as Henry. Really. Now, Henry in his way a little bit. Henry does want the country to succeed. And he wants me to, but Roger's a lot easier. He's so blind in his hatred of Henry. He really doesn't want the goddamn thing to come on.
Just because of that.
I really believe that. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, like, for example, Mr. Cooper, both of them came in here, we were in America, and, you know, we were your mom. Not a word of encouragement. Not a word of saying to you, you know, stop, you've done the right thing, the rest of them say it all goes to my money. But, and not a word of encouragement to him. Before he was. That's a pretty chicken shit attitude, isn't it?
Sure is.
But it's not new. They've always been that way. Long road. The Democrats are trashing around. You might ask Rogers, is that what he thinks about this business? He can't testify.
Oh, that's true.
I think he's a cold one. Maybe not a lot of
the days. If I ask him, he wants to testify.
Oh, he does.
I'm afraid he would say, no, I'd be glad to. I think I should go up and save the day for you.
Right. No.
But,
No, we can't risk it.
It would, if for no other reason, it would get Henry so terrified that.
No. Well, I think the pressure for Rogers is testifying will be, if you're able to behave, we should go in and announce upon the decision. Of course, on the other hand, Bob, we thought the pressure would go off. When I say we did, Henry did. When we announced the suspension of the presumption of the meeting, it didn't go off. I think the pressure is going to continue.
Well, the reason for that is the lag, but the bombing set into motion. You've got to give way to the Harlow theory of the 6 week thing. Now, something like this, it's a little less than six.
Well, communications maybe 6 days.
Well, yeah, when it's massive enough.
Yeah.
On a normal thing, it's 6 weeks. Yeah. On a super overridden thing, it may be 6 days.
That's right.
There is a long lag.
Now, we didn't have any problem from the resumption of the bombing at all.
None.
We're getting it all now. Right. It's taken this long for the fact of the bombing and the what happened to it, and then jamming up the reactions and having something happen as a reaction to take effect. And now what we're getting now, I think, is the heat that we should have been getting at Christmas time. And it's just 2 weeks too late, because the bombing's all over. And, I mean, that part of it. What will shoot that down will be an overriding thing. Henry going back to the talks was not an overriding thing. Stopping the bombing even wasn't. But what will be is when Henry comes back. It wasn't partly because we're playing the pessimistic line on the talks.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if he has the agreement. There we run into it. I think we're going to have, in some ways, a rougher time next week than we have this week. Because we're riding through this now. But the problem...
Why don't we tell them what happened? You mean that?
Which you will. You're going to tell the congressional leaders, I understand. From Kennedy said you wanted to have Henry meet with the leaders, or talk to the leaders. And hope they'll keep quiet.
And talk to them, their brothers.
And of course, you don't tell them a lot more than what you tell with what Ron says Monday morning, anyway.
Not a lot. I don't know exactly what Ron says. I dictated to Kennedy, submitted. I said, we're just going to say, in fact, a few years back, there has been significant progress made in the talks. Is going on beside him, informed you of the progress that we have made. In the meantime, because of this significant progress, the President has ordered a suspension of all bombing in North Vietnam. That suspension will continue as long as the progress continues to be made. Both sides agree there can be and will be no discussion whatever of the substance of the talks. Under the circumstances, we cannot agree on the substance of the talks. And we will... because it might jeopardize their succeeding. We can only say that we are continuing to work toward our goals, to the three goals that we have always set forth: ceasefire, return of all prisoners of war, and political process, people's autonomy. Period. Now that's what you say. That's what Ziegler says. That's what the rest says. Will that wash?
Yep.
I think it'll wash publicly.
Yep.
I'm washed with that.
It'll wash with the book. But then, what you'll get, of course, what that does will create a challenge to the media and to some in the Congress to find out what happened. And so there'll be enormous maneuvering, and that's when...
That's when Henry can pick it.
Right, and that's when I'm going to have a little talk with Henry and throw his own words back at him, which is, he always says, you've got to discipline the bureaucracy and all this stuff, and say, Henry, you've got to discipline Henry Kissinger.
You're the only man to
for 1 week. You guys
all
be available.
See, we are not even going to, this is going to be very hard. Rogers is panicking to get a hold of the agreement. We can't give it to Rogers. All Rogers will do, Bob, piss on it again.
You've got to say, Bill, we don't have an agreement.
Yeah, we don't have it yet.
Which is true.
That's right.
Because in the immortal words of William P. Rogers,
right,
until you have an agreement, you don't have an agreement.
You were there?
No, Henry told me. That rankled Henry, that lets you toss that right back at Bill. We don't have an agreement.
We don't have an agreement. That's right.
Now, the problem there is, of course, that Sullivan does have it. And I don't know whether Sullivan comes back with it or stays there working on it or what.
Yeah. Sullivan comes back and show him the goddamn protocol or something, I guess. But we cannot get Rogers.
Well,
Rogers will inevitably try to piss on it in order to get...
Maybe the better tack with Rogers, because you will have it, is to say, Bill, there is no further negotiation. This is not a negotiable agreement. This is the final paper. There's no point raising one word about a single comment.
He'll come in and find them, you know, Henry should have done that. This is a great mistake. I might have been there to get on that. I hear you. I'll tell you, as you know, Bob, Night, Sean was saying, no, earlier.
Hank Joe. Yeah.
He broke his pit. Remember, I told
that's
you
right.
This time. I said, that's it. So that's
and then he broke his pit. He broke a little further in Shanghai. That's right, though, it was.
What was a small, petty, chicken shit attitude?
He had met with Joe and Lonnie, or he had met Mom, that was his big problem, and you had to, you know, if there was going to be a meeting.
Where the truth, incidentally, where the truth just didn't wash, although it was the total truth, and if Bill had thought of truth, he would realize it was the total truth, and it just, you know, just the way it happened. Christ, we were going to keep him out of the goddamn meeting.
With Mom? Oh, yeah. It certainly was.
I never going to take a Secretary of State or any board of trustees again.
You shouldn't.
Never.
Even, and you shouldn't be misled into, you know, even if it's a Ken Rush, you're your own man type Secretary of State.
No, there's handles.
You shouldn't take any cabinet officer with you on the trip. We've talked about it before, and it's absolutely right. Isn't the way for the president to travel? You should be the only star.
That's right.
And you are the only star. When you're there, the sun's there so the stars don't show. And
well, the point is, we have one hell of a time, you know, our advanced people and so forth, and they're talking in the cabinet office, isn't it, Pat?
Yes, sir.
And they see, they got the, remember with Bill and Pete King and so forth, and
it can't be done.
Detour, and you remember when we went up to the wall and he was there and you had to get him up in the picture and it was getting the shit out of me.
We changed that and it was better on the Russian trip because he had an independent itinerary, so then you didn't have that much sightseeing anyway, but he did his own thing, which was better. If you're going to have it, that's the way to do it. He's got to do independent stuff.
Right.
When you go sightseeing, you got to go by yourself.
Exactly.
You should even most of the time have your wife with you, as we've also talked about, because it's better.
That's right, if we can, but on the other hand, any foreign travel that we do, I think should be straight and visit type of thing. It's better for me this time, and that's where God has to walk along.
Well, and you're moving, I would think, now to building a different kind of image out of those things anyway.
Yeah.
There should be more ceremony.
Sure.
You should be more aloof, and we shouldn't let them get into any, we should be much tougher than we've been before on your time, for instance, and it should be set up so that you have plenty of time on your own initiative.
Yeah.
You know, so that we don't get you into a schedule like the Henry kind of stuff, that you have to do this, you have to do that, meet with all the scholars and rush to the Bundestag and roar back and meet with the American community and shake hands with the ambassadors and staff. And you should screw that. You should move like royalty. You should end this stuff, and we should never say that to anybody because then it'll kick us back. But
move like the president. Basically, you have a responsibility to do a little thinking while he's there. So you say, what is he doing? Well, he's thinking, and also he's running the presidency.
Doing his own work. That's right. The president is the president all the time. And
you're not never, you're never going to be nickel and dime to death again. I'm going to limit the state. I don't mean much. I think the first European trip was a good one. I think the astronaut trip in Romania was pretty good. I think the others were useless, Canada, things like that. And all those crapping around Mexico, not absolutely useless.
Yeah.
I think that Russia and China, obviously, because of their substantive nature, were important. Do you see anything else that's worth saying? We did a state visit then. I did. Good God, India, Pakistan, Iran. Instead, we did Iran, more so. I think we're now in a position where the state visit thing is, it's good spectacle. And I think what I have in mind about that is about 1 year. Right.
Yeah.
Do European junket, for example, for women.
Yeah, I don't, you don't gain a lot from it. And they're hard work and they're high risk.
Yes, sir.
And especially if you go the more ceremonial route, the state visit type route, they're a pain in the ass because you got to go through the...
And I'm inclined to think maybe we'll avoid formalities. Maybe I've just been doing a lot of thinking. You're going to, if your whole overall schedule, you just said you're going to have to start them all out. But with state, I don't want you to ask them what they recommend with state visits. It's because they'll come up with 15. I just say, I shock them. I'd say, as far as the foreign visitors, maybe we can take 4 this year. He is already one of those. You know what I mean? Total of 4. The other should be just business trips. Is 4 too many? Should we say 3?
Say 3 or 4. Let's see what 3 will happen. You really, what's to your advantage? He?
Nothing.
Papa Doo, is he going to want to come back?
Sure. There first. The Emperor of Japan wants to come.
The Emperor, and that, I guess you...
Yeah, I'm committed to, but I can come away with a while. And of course, we got the Russian. We've already got 2. See, we got the Russian already.
We have Heat.
And the Russian.
And Russia, and probably Japan.
Yeah. Just say the state visit schedule this year is full. That's all I'd say.
Heat, Russia, and Japan. That leaves you one open for deciding another one you might want to do at some point. Well, some changes or something might be a reason for it.
No, your talk with Henry has got to be the toughest, coldest talk you've ever had. Because you've got to say, I'm going to use your advice that you gave us. We have sat on this thing, you have told her then, so you're the hottest property. There is, and you cannot read anything. You ought to avoid social media. Read about that's the thing that he gets in trouble.
It's when you put your own worst enemy. I mean, I've got to put it to him bluntly, and he is. He knows it.
I think calling him the Florida. Can we talk about that again? Because I guess I agree. You've got to think that through as to whether is it a bad idea, or you think about it, or should I go to Camp David? I can go to Camp David.
No,
you can have all of there.
I go to Florida.
I could prefer to go to Florida.
Alone, get out of here, take Henry down.
So anyway.
Be frank, I wouldn't take Colson down. I don't think you want to get that kind of stuff. I mean, we can tell Colson to go on down if he wants to. But
give him a vacation.
Well, he doesn't want to, though, as a matter of fact. See, he's going to take that trip, which is what he's building up. He doesn't like to go down.
Good. I was just thinking that.
And he's got Baruti coming over now starting Monday, and he wants to get going with him. I hadn't thought about that. See, we're setting him up.
I have the time. Henry
wanted to do this. He said he did.
I have the time to do the Colson decline, all these things right now. I want you to take care of it so I don't worry about it.
That's right.
So if you'll take care of him, I can stand. I pick my least violators in that. I think the better solution, Sam, is to let him have the damn Red Cross and kick him out of the other one. Maybe because we only want to have a land of that border. They've already acted. And the board has met. They've got to stand. I say he's unacceptable to me. You've got a hell of a story there. I think.
If that's really what's happened, if that's the way Stan puts it, apparently, to Campbell, but I'm not sure it's what happened.
Well,
let us worry about those. We can cover those. I think you ought to have Henry.
Webster won't take that OAP thing.
He wasn't in intelligence. That's the CIA thing that Chuck had talked to you about was Casey, not Webster.
SEC, then?
We'll try.
Try that.
You ought to not worry about those now. Let us patch them together one way or another.
Well, I just don't want people to know Colson and Ehrlichman and Ottens.
Right.
It just got that ridiculous. They're both the same team, and they're both trying to do the same thing. And I can see what is developing here on the angle of the bank and so forth. They each said, well, you got one and I got to get one. Well, that's not the way to do it. I mean, it's I think it's a question of your side.
think we'd rather let the client thing go. I realize that, Councilman, but almost as sure as we sit here, you slip him into that counselor spot, he'll never leave.
He won't, and he can't avoid expanding. That's really the problem. That's the thing I kept saying, you know, when we were talking about it, trying to convince myself, if it would work the way you laid it out, it would be good. It isn't vital. I mean, it isn't, sure he's an asset, but he isn't.
We could follow others.
An unlimited asset, that's right. And Ehrlich said, for instance, that he really didn't. He had one good answer on Meet the Press, and the rest of it he didn't do very well. John was kind of concerned about it. Yeah. I didn't see it, so I don't know whether John's valuation is right.
Well, his answers may not be so good in substance, but what his answers are good at is believability. That's always your curve stumbles around, but everybody knows that.
Oh, that's what John was talking about.
They believe.
Huh? That's what John was saying. I was getting our points over.
I see. People, whatever John may think of the campaign, well, they just rave about the line.
I know.
Don't they? Not just his friends, but a hell of a lot of others.
Oh, he did a good job. And he worked hard. I think it's better to let it kind of run its course, though.
Back your mind. Is that bad though? He won't hurt him. Probably bad for him.
No, not so sure.
I think actually that's his best hope, that's what made him.
I think you can make a good case. He can do it on a very careful basis. And, here's what they said, here's what happened, and here's why, how that really made it very difficult.
In this case, it's a family life that I would have some, I have the, even the time part, with the shoe. You don't ever carry it.
I'm not so sure they would.
Your thought is to go back. That would be for us to get Hagar and go to Florida.
Right.
With him.
And Henry,
the idea being we're just going for a couple of days. And then I'll extend. How's that sound to you?
Might stay down, and that'd be the best thing, would be for him to just stay down. He can order, get some staff down and work on the state of the world report or something.
That's right. I think you should message him so that we don't have to confront that when we come back. And the next message that I would like to go to Florida, would like him to come with me to Florida after he leaves. I have to write this words my inaugural. I would like it there. I have to work take off 3 full days, 3 4 days. I need to get the clear that he, at that time, can take his staff and work on the world. He should be there when I am. Now, his parties and everything, God, it's easy to keep him out of the parties. I'm not concerned so much about the telephone calls at this point, although he will pick up the phone and after dinner he reads a call. But if you can keep him out of the parties, Bob, even the brave Sunday night party this Sunday, I mean, he's going to go. That would be a tremendous achievement, wouldn't it?
You can keep him off the phone too. And he's just got to take on celibacy for a week, just hold up till it runs its cycle. He can do that.
Right. Except for these calls to the Congressman Senators, which you should make a number of them, getting a list contained on somebody else may have number of.
He can make those from Florida.
Make them all from Florida.
Stand here with the president. We're working this over. The president wants me to fill you in on the situation. Here's what it is.
The Congress will not expect any brief on Sunday anyway, will they? Right? And I'll just say that
well, then the Monday announcement you put out makes the point that there can't be any briefings.
Right.